You may be seated. We're introduced here to these two sisters, Mary and Martha. And isn't it amazing how different two siblings can be? It's amazing. I've known several. As a matter of fact, in my life, at one point in my life, I have always been surrounded by sets of twins. Knowing twins all our life. We had some that lived in our neighborhood, and then of course there were some in our school, and then some that I worked with, and it was hilarious. The last time I went to work in January, a lady that I had worked with, before I came to be the pastor at Loomis, her twin sister now works there, and I walked up to her, and, the girl I knew was Michelle, and I walked up to this girl and looked at her and I said, "You're not Michelle." And she said, "Thank you. No, I'm Lindsay, Michelle's twin sister." And I thought, well, you look a lot like her. Amen. Listen, isn't it amazing, though? I'll talk to those two ladies, and they're as different as night and day. Isn't it amazing how two girls can grow up in the same home and just be so different? In our text, we're introduced to these two sisters, Mary and Martha. And of course, we know their brother Lazarus. Jesus said of him that he was his friend. And is there any higher title for us to have, ladies and gentlemen, than to be called the friend of Jesus? He said when they found out that Lazarus was going to die, and of course Jesus in his omnipotence already knew that, he said, "Our friend Lazarus is sick." Why did he call him that? Well, there are several reasons, but the main thing is, I believe, Jesus was oft refreshed when he came to Bethany, and he came into this unusual home of two sisters and a brother, Lazarus and Mary and Martha. We see some things about Martha this evening, if we could. She was really somebody that really had only one fault. We'll cover that in the end of the message, but something I believe that we can see from Luke chapter 10:38, and if we'll go over to John chapter 11 verse 26, if you want to go over there with me, I believe first of all Martha was a saved woman. She was a saved woman. You say, why is that, Pastor? Well, in John chapter 11 verse 26, when after Jesus, the Bible says that. She said, Jesus said unto her, "I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this?" See, I believe, ladies and gentlemen, that is the question. That is the question. Do you believe that I'm him? You see, when the Philippian jailer came and fell at Paul's feet, he didn't say to him, "Hey, if you do good works, you'll be saved. If you get in that tank, you'll be saved." He said this, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved." You remember when Philip came and joined himself to the Ethiopian eunuch's chariot, and he was reading Isaiah 53, and he came to him and he said, "Understandest thou what thou readest?" And he said, "How can I, except a man should guide me?" And the Bible says he opened up the scripture and preached unto him Jesus, and they came to a certain water to be baptized. Now listen, I believe if you're saved, you ought to be baptized. But what did he say? By the way, it doesn't say anything in your NIV. Brother Sammons is going to cover that in his series, I'm sure. You read the NIV Bible, it says, "And they came to a certain water. And he said, what doth hinder me to be baptized?" You go to the NIV, it just says he was baptized. But in your King James Bible, in verse 37 of Acts chapter 8, it says this, "If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest." And he said, "I believe that Jesus is the Son of God." And so here's Martha in our text in verse 27, and she saith unto him, "Yea, Lord, I believe thou art the Christ, the Son of God, that should come into the world." Listen, I believe Martha was a saved woman. I believe she was. I believe she was a saved woman. I believe something else about Martha, according to our text. Martha was a sweet woman. Martha was a sweet woman. Go back in John chapter 11. Look at verse number Well, let's begin in verse 1. We've already talked a little bit about this, but it said a certain man was sick named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. And it was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore his sisters sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. When Jesus heard that, he said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified there. And verse 5 says, now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. See, Jesus loved these people. And I believe these people were sweet. You say, how do you know from that text, Pastor? Listen, they sent for Jesus. They sent for Jesus. They knew He would come. She had a sweetness about her. By the way, you always find her, and we'll talk about it later, find her serving. Listen, sweet people serve. They serve. You know, it's not in our nature to serve. It's in our nature to want to be served. You say, oh no, not my nature. Well, God bless you. You're a visitor from heaven. I have some selfishness in me. Amen? Don't we all deal with that? See, Martha was a sweet woman. She loved her brother. She loved her sister. She loved Jesus, and Jesus loved them. Something else, going back into Luke, Martha was a sincere woman. She was a sincere woman. Back in Luke chapter 10, verse number 40, but Martha was cumbered about much serving, and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? She was a sincere woman. I believe that Martha was one of those people that you'd meet that did everything the very best she could. I believe if she was serving a meal for Jesus, I know they didn't eat pork, so I'm going to have to think of something else, that whatever it was that she was cooking, the pot roast or whatever, she wanted it to be perfect. She was sincere in everything she did. She put those dishes out on the plate. She made sure there wasn't one speck on any one of those dishes. She was sincere. By the way, can I say this? I love sincere people. I love sincere people. I know about you. I don't like phonies. One of the greatest compliments I was ever paid after I got saved was somebody that I work with. I had come, I think, to an event we had had at our church, and they said to me, Rich, you're just the same at church as you are at work. And I said, I try to be. Praise the Lord. I believe she was sincere. Hey, God help us. We ought to be sincere. People ought to know that what we say is what we mean, and our word is still our bond. I know it's not that way now in circles. You know, you got to get a staff of Philadelphia lawyers to draw up a contract to buy a car from somebody. But it ought to be with us, our words, our bond. We ought to be sincere. And the Bible says, and without offense until the day of Christ. She was a sincere woman. She was going about what she was doing, and she thought she was right. She was sincerely serving. But can I say this? Sincerity does not always mean you're right. Jesus said here, one thing she lacked. How many times have we sincerely believed something and come to find out it wasn't true? I'll give you an example. Brother Sammons, I don't do forward emails. If anybody sends me a forward email, I always check it. Because for years I had received a forward email from somebody, just an email, and it had said that the head of Procter & Gamble was an avowed Satanist. And so for years I just said, okay. I didn't research it. I just believed it, Brother Lawley. I looked at it and said, okay. They had given a couple quotes and things. I said, I'm not buying anything Procter & Gamble. Nothing. I'm not contributing one dime to a Satanist. And did you know how many things Procter & Gamble makes? It's really hard to try to not buy anything Procter & Gamble. We'd look and we'd get our laundry detergent. We'd turn it over. Ugh. And we go and we get whatever, you just name it in the house. You get a stick of deodorant, you look at it, can't have satanic stink, I don't know, you know. And But we looked at, and for years we believed that. You know what, Brother Boston? It was a ruse. It was fake. Listen, I sincerely believe that. But my sincerity wasn't always correct. Same thing here with Martha. She was sincerely serving, but Jesus said, one thing you're lacking. Something else. She was not only a saved woman, she was a sweet woman, she was a sincere woman. I believe she was a separated woman. In John chapter 11, going back there once again, John chapter 11, verse 20. It says, then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went out and met him. She ran to meet Jesus. And can I say this? No person who's harboring sin in their life wants to be close to Jesus. You show me somebody that has sin in their heart and I'll show you a dusty Bible. You show me a person who is in continual, willful sin, I'll show you a person who never hits the altar. Show me a person who's in continual, willful sin, I'll show you no prayer life. They don't want to be close to Jesus. But Martha was a separated woman, so she was able to run to Jesus, and be close to Him, and be comfortable in His presence. Well, we ought to be that way, folks. Again, I say separation. So many folks think separation is always about the outside. And listen, ladies, I mean, I'm for covering up. I'm for being modest. I'm for long skirts, and I'm for just being modest and ladylike. Amen. It's right, but it's not the test of separation. You see, separation is this: we're supposed to be separated unto God. And if we do that, you know what? We'll be separated from the world. That's the order. Most people flip the order. They say, well, I've got to wear this, and I've got to do this, and I've got to not go here and not go there. Listen, the reason I don't go to the movie house is not because I think the movie house is the most wicked thing ever. It's not that. It's because I love God. I just love God. I love my testimony for God. The reason why we don't think you ought to listen to rock music, listen, the reason why I don't listen to rock music is not because rock music doesn't stimulate my flesh, because it still does, even after all these years. It's because I love God. Because I want to love God. You see, when God's on the throne, separation is just a byproduct. It's a byproduct. So she was a saved woman. She was a sweet woman. She was a sincere woman. She was a separated woman. Well, I'll tell you what else she was. She was a serving woman. She was a serving woman. Many people will take this text and they compare Mary to Martha, and they'll slander Martha. Listen, by the way, when we compare ourselves amongst ourselves, we're not wise, Corinthians says. The standard is Jesus. Amen. But she was a serving woman. She served and didn't mind it at all. She loved to serve. I appreciate people who serve. I mentioned it in our revival meet or our missions conference. There's a group of people in this church that honestly I have such admiration for and respect, and that's the ladies who work the nursery. I mean that. We kid about it, and we love to have fun about that. You know, we often say we'll put 1 Corinthians 15, 52 over the nursery. We shall all be changed, you know, in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye. But listen, those ladies, they make it possible for us to have a service where someone can hear the Word of God and be uncumbered about with their little ones. I appreciate people who serve. We've got people in our church that serve. They just serve. Brother Ken, you drive that bus. That's serving. Mrs. Harmon, you teach that Sunday school class. That's serving. Those of you that give faithfully, that's serving. Making visits on people. I appreciate Joe and Gloria on Friday. Today is Rio Parker's 99th birthday.
Joe and Gloria, let's see her on Friday. That's serving. Amen? Serving. Just I always catch a glimpse of this whenever we have a fellowship downstairs. And you'll see as soon as the fellowship over, and I know not everybody can stay, I understand that. But I'll see people, Brother Sammons, Brother Delbert, picking up chairs and folding them. And I'll see people that rolling tables and people sweeping and cleaning up, serving. See, Martha was a serving woman. But something about Martha that we catch from this text, and I think it can help us if we look at it honestly. She was a saved woman. She was a sweet woman. She was a sincere woman. She was a separated woman. She was a serving woman. But she was a sidetracked woman. She was a sidetracked woman. You say, well, where do you get that, Pastor? Well, look at the text, if you would, in verse 40 and 41. It says, but Martha was cumbered about much serving, and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her, therefore, that she help me. And Jesus said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful. Mary hath chosen the good part, which shall not be taken away. You said, Pastor, she was sidetracked. She was sidetracked with serving when the Savior was there, and it was probably going to be one of the few times she would ever see Him in His physical body, and then He would be gone. You know, Jesus said to the people, the poor you have with you always, me you have not always. You're just here for a little time. And what are some sidetracks in life? Some things that could sidetrack us from that one thing that's needful. Let me just give you a couple tonight. Material things can sidetrack us. Did you know every one of us has needs? If you have a home, you need to heat that home and cool that home and take care of that home. And that takes money to do that. We all have those needs. You need food in your cupboards and you need gas in your car and you need gas in your car and you seem to need more gas in your car and it doesn't get any cheaper to put gas in your car. I'm getting a little excited there. I better stop. Amen. No, every one of us, whether saved or lost, can be sidetracked by material things. Some people get themselves so deep in debt because of material things that they can't even come to the Lord's house on Sundays because they have to work 7 days a week paying for all those things. You say, you pointing the finger at me, Pastor? No, I'm just telling you, everyone, if a saved and sweet and sincere and separated and serving woman like Martha could be sidetracked, so can we, and all God's people said. Material things. Something else that could sidetrack any one of us is meaningless tasks. I don't know about you. I am a perfectionist when I do something. It is a great fault of mine. Confess your faults one to another. A great fault of mine. I am a perfectionist when I do something. And Brother Jeff, what I have found, I'll be in the office, and I'll be doing something in the office, and the Lord will prompt me to work on a message, and I'll be doing something, just organizing something, and I'll have to say to myself, stop that. You're not doing anything. Has anybody else ever done that? Oh my goodness. You're not getting done what's the main thing. And God, you know, like I said, God prompts me to work on a message, and I'm organizing material, and certainly material has to be organized, but meaningless tasks can sidetrack us. You know, when I think of the main purpose of the church, ladies and gentlemen, it's to get the gospel to a lost and dying world. Listen to me. I am not minimizing those who vacuum floors at the church. I'm not minimizing those who polish brass. I'm not minimizing those who drag the ball field. I'm not minimizing those who cut the grass, anything. But listen, if we only do those tasks and don't get the gospel out, they're meaningless. Meaningless tasks.
I think of this woman, Martha. She was sidetracked from the one thing. I want you to go with me, if you could, verse 42 there. But one thing is needful. What is that one thing, Pastor? I want you to go to Mark chapter 3. I want to show you what I believe that one thing is. Mark chapter number 3. You say, what is that one thing that Mary had that Martha didn't? Listen, let's not be too hard on Martha. When I think of Martha, I think, Mr. Jordan, of the church at Ephesus. I think of the church at Ephesus, and they had everything going. They were a good church, strong and fundamental in doctrine. And boy, listen, if somebody came along and they said they were apostles, they had a little Sanhedrin court of their own and said, we'll tell you if you're an apostle or not. You tell us what you believe. And that was a good church, strong church. But they left their first love, didn't they? Mark 3:14, I believe, gives us a glimpse of what is that one thing. What's the one thing that Martha lacked? It says, and he ordained 12 that they should be with him. That they should be with him, that he might send them forth to preach. What is it? What's that one thing that will keep you from being cumbered? I'll tell you what it is, that you spend time with Him. Did you know a pastor can be cumbered about many messages? This week, I'll preach 4 messages. That is a lot of study that has to be done. Brother Hancock, this preacher needs to spend time with the Savior for himself. Not just for you people. And I know you want me to spend time with the Savior for myself. Listen, it's the same with you. What'll keep you from being a Martha, being cumbered about much serving, is like Mary, you sit at the feet of Jesus. You say, how do I do that? He's not here, Pastor. You do that by reading your Bible. Taking time. I know we have a Bible reading schedule. Whatever the Bible reading schedule, I recommend that you're in the Gospels several times during the year. Why? It just tells you about his life. It tells you about where he walked, what he did, how he loved. Spending time with Jesus. Spending time with him every day in prayer. You see, the reason why, there's a term now in Christianity, it's called burnout. Christians burn out. They burn out. And the old line, and I know it probably hasn't hit here, but the old line amongst preachers, well, I'd rather burn out for God than rust out for the devil. And I understand that, but you know what? You shouldn't have to do either. You should just be at his feet. And if you're at his feet, then you won't be cumbered about with much serving. I'm going to tell you this, it doesn't make the tasks any less, but I'll tell you what it does. Jesus said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For I am meek and lowly of heart, and you shall find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. See what happens when we just get cumbered about in serving. We forget who we're serving. And ladies and gentlemen, it ought not to be so. So many times, good Christians, and I mean good Christians, can get sidetracked. They can forget who saved them. They can forget who they're living for, who you're teaching that Sunday school class for, who you're laboring on that bus route for, who is it that you are living for? Who is it, Pastor, that you're preparing those sermons for? But if we sit at his feet and spend time with him, that was what Mary did. She sat at Jesus' feet and she worshiped him every day. You see, folks, it's about our relationship with Jesus.
It's one thing to be serving. Thank God for people that serve. Thank God for people that serve without, they don't need a pat on the back or a push or anything like that. They love serving. But just don't forget who you're serving. Martha was cumbered. Are you cumbered tonight? You know, one of the easiest ways to backslide is to be cumbered about much serving without sitting at Jesus' feet. And by the way, the devil doesn't care how he gets you to backslide. He could get you through fleshly sins or he could get you through much serving. He wants you to burn out. God doesn't, though. God wants you to spend time with Him. If you spend time with Him, you know what you do? You tap into the source of power. See, when we do it in our own strength, we're like Martha. But when we come and we sit at His feet, we've got power for the tasks that need to be done. Are you here today and you're cumbered? Maybe you are. Maybe you don't get to spend a lot of time. And listen, I know what that's like. I've said to many a preacher friend, the great blessing of being an associate in New England for 8 years is that I can sympathize and empathize with our people that only have several minutes a day to read their Bible. They get on break or they get on lunch as they have their sandwich and they read their Bible. Listen, that's precious time. Precious time. Wake up in the morning and have that coffee brewing. Hallelujah. Spend time with God. Give you strength for the day. We don't want to be like Martha in the fact that she was sidetracked. Yes, we like the fact she was sweet and sincere. All those other things. Let's not be sidetracked. Let's remember who it's all about. It's all about Jesus. Hebrews 12:2 says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Cumbered. Our Father, we love You and